Final year project, digitizing life and research, student number 2007-053-57. Documentary title, Exploring the Lives of Hispanic Migrants Living in the UK, Social, Linguistic and Cultural Integration. Hello everyone, hola a todos, and bienvenido, welcome. This documentary is part of the Open Lives project at the University of Leeds. My name is Daisy Willock, and I am a current student reading Spanish language in my final year at Leeds University. Recently, I have returned from spending a year abroad in Colombia, a country that was completely foreign to me with a different language and culture. Needless to say, I had a fantastic experience, and the challenges I faced have certainly helped to improve both my confidence and language ability. And therefore, since returning home, I have developed a greater interest and curiosity for the newcomers from other countries who have come to live, work, or study in my home country, the United Kingdom. Do we ever stop to consider the lives and experiences of these people? Do we know anything about them and the challenges they have faced? And finally, do we feel they have successfully integrated into their host society? The UK is no exception amongst the many countries affected by globalisation. We have a high level of sustained migration, as well as many students from around the world who have chosen to come and study at some of the top British universities. In this documentary, we will focus on the topic of integration and intercultural relationships by exploring the life stories of adult migrants from Spain and Latin America who currently live here in the UK. From PhD students from Chile to young professionals from Spain, we will hear it from their perspective, how they define and perceive their levels of integration, and how language and cultural awareness has affected this process. We hope to answer some of the following questions. How has the challenge of second language learning affected their experience and daily interactions? What cultural differences have they noticed, and if they have had an impact? And finally, have the British people welcomed them into society, allowing friendships to be formed, or is there still a communication and cultural barrier? This documentary will delve deeper into the lives of these individuals who have made this cultural and linguistic border crossing. We will hear first-hand accounts of the real emotions and issues faced as a Hispanic migrant living in the UK today.
Integración, sí.
For me, yes, of course, integration.
Importante,
yes, for me, it is extremely important because without it,
sitio,
well, you cannot go to a place to live without getting involved in the culture and without the intention to understand, right?
Entender.
If not,
sí,
why would you go? Just to work?
Before we begin, how do we define integration and how important is it? It is a concept that has been discussed and debated for years, yet still to this day, one exact definition does not suffice. Research-based data has been gathered from studies all around the world regarding the meaning of integration. However, we still do not have the answer. Nowadays, the definition is usually left open because it tends to vary from country to country and is often based on different variables. Integration can be measured by several elements. However, today we are focusing on how our participants perceive it in terms of social and cultural adaptation to their new society. From first-hand accounts from our native Spanish-speaking interviewees, we have discovered that it is the interaction between the newcomer and host that leads to a more successful course of integration. In this documentary, we will discuss the reasons for this by touching on themes such as language proficiency and cultural awareness. How do these two elements either encourage or inhibit the process? When both parties can communicate effectively, as well as understand and appreciate one another's cultural differences, an essential social network can be formed. This is imperative for a successful integration process. Let us first look at the power of language and how it has played a significant role in the experiences of our Hispanic migrants living in the UK today. Language is not only the main function that allows us to communicate and interact daily, but it also lets us express our thoughts and emotions. Therefore, it is no surprise that throughout our interviews with native Spanish speakers, their issues with the English language was mentioned as the most common problem. To be proficient in the English language is one of the key skills that migrants must acquire to ensure they experience an effective and positive integration process. According to the EU Immigrant Integration Policy adopted in 2004, basic knowledge of the host society's language is essential for this process. Subsequently, a level higher than basic is required, and in order to meet social and economic demands, textbook English taught in the classroom is not enough. However, learning a language is much harder than it may appear to a native speaker. Although migrants with a basic level of English can have short and social conversations, commonly known as small talk, they cannot fully engage with members of their host community. This type of interaction only requires simple and direct exchanges of information on familiar topics. Learning English at this basic level alone is challenging, but there are other vital parts of language learning that are not taught in the classroom but are still important. Overcoming these challenges can turn the short and superficial exchanges into fluid conversations. Firstly, there is the challenge of communicating in any context or social situation. Then there is the ability to express both complex thoughts and emotions. Both these aspects of language are vital for successful interaction. Additionally, to be able to show personal traits through language, as well as understand different accents and colloquialisms, are also important factors that can enhance these fluid and more advanced interactions. We will look at these examples further throughout the documentary. Although English taught in the classroom is useful, if you are simply filling in the blanks of a grammar textbook, you cannot develop an identity or personality in this second language. Students may be taught the formalities of the language, but this may not translate when put into a practical situation. Without these specific language skills, there may be some communication problems.
Okay, it was hard, of course. It was my first time away from home, because I had never lived outside of my house before, even in Spain. And so, I left to a foreign country where they speak another language. Before I arrived, I thought I knew how to speak Spanish. But when I arrived here, I said, no, I don't know English. In Liverpool, I didn't understand anyone. I found it very difficult.
Well, for me, the feeling is personal. It's a personal feeling. The English are, I don't know. It's very difficult to communicate with them. When you go out, the first 5 minutes in contact with an English person are nice. Hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Oh, you're from Spain. I like Spain. And so on. But then 5 minutes pass and it's like, okay, you carry on with your day and I carry on with mine. I see a difference here in comparison to Spain.
Generally, the problem that may occur between a host national and foreign language learner is that social interactions can fall short. They can also tend to lack sentiment and character. Consequently, communication is limited and often impersonal. Conversing in a second language slows down the thinking process and makes the exchanges less spontaneous and natural. Likewise, certain accents or dialects, like the Liverpudlian accent in Gisella's case, can be almost impossible to understand for a non-native speaker. Language learners can feel vulnerable or self-conscious in these kinds of social situations, especially for migrants moving to the UK for the first time with little or no previous knowledge of English. In Javier's case, the lack of language knowledge may well be the reason for his limited conversations. However, it is possible that he is articulating a deeper frustration with regards to the cultural conceptions and contrast between the UK and Spain. This issue relating to culture is a topic we will discuss later. As we have already mentioned, there are many linguistic challenges to overcome as a language learner, but above all, grasping a whole new vocabulary is the first demand. In comparison to English, the Spanish language has many contrasting features, for example, opposite grammatical patterns, unfamiliar phonetics, and different sentence structures. However, these elements are minor, because essentially, if the words themselves have not been learnt, no form of conversation can proceed.
Sometimes when I talk about something very deep, it is too difficult because I don't have the vocabulary.
The understanding and use of vocabulary is an essential part of foreign language learning. The lack of this knowledge can lead to stunted communication as well as the inability to express feelings and thoughts. Considering that the average native speaker has an active vocabulary of 18 to 20,000 words and a passive vocabulary at an additional 15 to 20,000 words, it is no wonder that foreign language speakers have more trouble expressing themselves in the target language. Plus, we are all constantly learning new words as individuals every day. Therefore, for foreign language learners, this constant influx of new words and meanings can be both extremely confusing and frustrating. As a language learner myself, I know and understand this feeling, and it can certainly lead to a lack of confidence. Consequently, these emotions prevent, at times, any form of linguistic interaction.
Above all, communication. In the restaurant, there was a guy, an Argentinian guy, who spoke English, but I didn't communicate much with anyone else. It was very difficult. I wanted to. I am a very sociable person, very sociable. I like talking to people, and well, Language, it's an important communication barrier. Even I didn't feel capable of talking to people because it scared me. They're not going to understand me. I'm going to spend 15 minutes trying to understand one sentence. On many occasions, I didn't say anything.
This experience recorded by one of our Hispanic participants emphasizes these concerns. Moving to a new country with little knowledge of the native language can seriously affect the self-esteem and confidence levels. A common issue faced is known as foreign language anxiety and is often apparent amongst new language learners. In this instance, Abraham feels apprehensive and nervous to converse naturally because it takes him longer to understand the words. He also has the fear of being judged if he makes a mistake and that his ability will be negatively viewed. This often can affect migrants' levels of participation and consequently lead to less contact between the newcomer and host. We must remember that conversational languages are fast-paced and often colloquialisms are used, which makes understanding and contributing even harder. Adults are more likely to keep quiet and say nothing rather than feel embarrassed if they incorrectly pronounce or forget a word. By avoiding failure, it is in fact limiting and affecting the integration process by restricting the opportunity to socialise. Additionally, there is the issue of not being able to fully be themselves and show their real personalities in the host language. As a result, it is not a real representation of the kind of person they are.
It's bad. I think that when I speak English, an English person cannot get to know me properly because I cannot express myself like I can in Castilian.
Since you meet someone, it's like, okay, very fluent. Mm-hmm. And here it's always, you need to break a wall first, yeah, you know.
Definitely.
And that's hard for a Latin American one, if I have to say. So,
yeah.
And also because you don't know which way to, you know, it's difficult. So
yeah,
that is a little bit different.
Yeah,
and also, I think that personally, I'm a different person in English and Spanish because
yeah,
I can't communicate as well. Obviously, it's not the same.
Research suggests that our personalities change when alternating between two languages. This may be due to many factors. Firstly, the most obvious, as previously discussed, the lack of language knowledge, especially for new learners. In an environment where they are expected to speak a good level of English, it is easy to adopt a cautious and timid persona. This is especially if they don't feel like they have the capability or confidence to interact effectively. It is often the case that non-natives are more assertive and humorous in their native language. Personality can be expressed in language through spontaneity and good humour, two of the hardest skills to achieve for learners, yet an essential part of social interaction. Yet there are different conceptions of humour dependent on the language. A migrant who is considered funny amongst their friends back home could join a new group in their host country who reject and misunderstand their comedy. Similarly, it can be frustrating if everyone is laughing at a joke, but they cannot understand because they are not familiar with certain colloquialisms.
And in Yorkshire, it's even more difficult. It was very complicated. I think I spent 1 year here and I still didn't understand anyone. It was very difficult.
You also have a quiet English, a very Mancunian experience because I managed to get a job in a little factory, actually. It was a little company. They produce ice cubes for bars and pubs and you know. So I operated big machinery, you know, and it was a very physical thing. You know, and I get in touch with the proper English working class people, you know. And yeah, that was. Then I learned some Mancunian expressions.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Slangs and expressions are especially unavoidable in any language, and they differ depending on what region they are used. Slangs can be a strong indicator of someone's personality. A Spanish speaker in England cannot express his or her personality with typically British slang because that would not fit in with their Hispanic identity. The English language also has many idiomatic expressions and colloquialisms that make no sense at all to language learners, even at an advanced level. The British also have a taste for sarcasm and irony, so sometimes it is hard to know what conversations are serious or if there is an underlying joke. Overcoming these challenges are key in becoming confident enough to understand, join in with jokes, and socialize with native English speakers.
Cuando eres nuevo, buscas un poco lo que más se te asemeja a ti.
When you are new, you look for something alike to you. It's not that easy to get involved in the culture, even if you try. Because how can you make English friends without English? So you end up celebrating all Spanish things and making friends with other Spanish people. Even if you arrive thinking, I won't get to know so many Spanish people, in the end you do.
But honestly, it's difficult to identify myself as a British, if you know. Because first of all, English is not my first language, mm-hmm. as I said. And there are different, it's a different culture. So if it was, if I'm honest with you, I identify more with the Spanish people. As I said, you know, I think that when you live abroad, normally you have foreign friends.
Friendship provides an important basis and emotional support network, which in turn contributes to better social and cultural integration. Clearly, the formation and development of friendships are identified as an important part of integration for migrants. However, establishing networks far from home and adjusting to a new culture and lifestyle requires both effort and patience. Many of our Spanish speakers have highlighted the role of language on their relationships and how it has inhibited their opportunity to form strong connections. Successful communication not only helps to create friendships but also to sustain them. Therefore, we often see groups of international migrants socializing with others that share their common language.
I think it's a good thing if you can integrate in the society. You know, if I had a, I felt like I would have liked to be more into the British society, mm-hmm. you know. I'm still open to that option, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I know neighbors, as I said, I know them, and but sometimes it's difficult to get more on that, you know? It's like, it's not as easy that if you have other friends.
The lack of language ability or cultural awareness can hinder migrants from making real friendships with host nationals. This may be because they cannot express themselves how they would in a typical social situation in their home country. Primarily, interpersonal jokes are significant when trying to form a strong friendship with another person. An individual may be witty, relaxed, and confident in Spanish, but when attempting to speak English, they are much more reserved. The transition overseas may be much more challenging than expected. Therefore, befriending those with whom they can relate to and share the same language can be a reassurance. It could also be helpful to discuss certain issues with fellow non-natives who are experiencing the same problems. Moving to a new country can be lonely at times. It is typical to feel homesick and to want the comfort of your own language with people who share that common ground. Unfortunately, intercultural friendships can often be labelled as more superficial because the lack of language knowledge can inhibit a stronger bond to be formed. However, there are also many individuals who have arrived in the United Kingdom and their perceptions have been constructed in different ways.
I mean, yeah, we spent a really nice time during the master. It was lovely. And as my wife got in touch with a lot of parents in Headingley or mm-hmm. people living the same thing, we got in touch with the British society, you know, with the good and the bad things, British society. Mm-hmm. But mainly with the good things. I mean, in terms of, because many people approach us to say, where are you from? Wow, that's interesting. Do you speak Spanish? Yeah, wow. And they, and we made very good friends. At least to share your sorrows, to say that, oh, my baby is not sleeping.
I say it's very, in general, very positive. I felt very welcome during that time. And I had one very good experience because in this University of Manchester, they had an international society, which is, they run a lot of activities for international students. And one of those activities was that basically they realized that many international students come and never get to know like the British culture because they just share with other international students and leave. So they made an alliance with the Rotary Club again. And so they had voluntary families who wanted to welcome students in their homes, basically. So they match you with a family. They made you fill a form, like with what kind of things do you like to do, what topics you want, you like talking about, things like that. What are your hobbies?
We have listened to conflicting perceptions of Hispanic adult migrants with regards to intercultural relationships. This leads us to wonder, has their environment played a part in the forming of friendships during their social integration process? Areas with a high university population are a prime location for intercultural contact, especially as the UK is thriving with international students. Mario, a PhD student for example, feels very comfortable and content with his life in the UK, whereas Paulina, a mother of two working from home, does not feel 100% integrated.
If I'm honest with you, one of my main problems here is that almost all my friends are from Spain.
Okay.
And I'm always speaking in Spanish. I talk to Spanish to my children because I want them to be bilingual, which they are, you know, they're bilingual. Yeah. And so I always talk to them in Spanish. I talk to my husband in Spanish because I met him in Mexico and we started in Spanish, you know. So, and then I talk to in Spanish to my friends here. Yeah. So that's why my English is not so good.
I think it's really good.
Well, but not so, you know, it should be. Spanish. No. And then, so I think that one of the main problems, well, even if my husband is English, his family is English, they're very nice people, very, you know, and but I don't feel 100% integrated, if I'm.
The integration process can be slowed down and ineffective if migrants remain comfortable in their exclusive groups and don't take the opportunity to interact in English. This can prevent the development of effectively building networks between the newcomer and the receiving group, which in turn will contribute to a more cohesive society. However, circumstances vary according to the person, and it is not always an easy task to step out of your comfort zone and socialise with others in an unfamiliar environment. This is especially the case with Paulina. She has a busy family life in which she has always spoken in her native tongue, for various reasons, plus she lives in a smaller closed community where it may not be as easy to go out and make new friends. On the other hand, for Mario, making friends with members of his host community was much more achievable because he is a student surrounded by the multicultural and busy environment that is university. Integration is not just about language, but also how it relates to context and culture. In other words, how and when we use the words that we know. The type of language we use may vary according to the social situation we are in. These are skills we have learnt in our native tongue from a young age. Therefore, our cultural etiquette is naturally used in our day-to-day interactions. Subconsciously, the words we speak have been influenced by the culture we have grown up with. Every language is unique and has its own components that have been constructed over time. Therefore, every community has its own way of communicating. For example, some may say that in the UK, our stereotyped British etiquette, or the reason we use very polite language, is because we have always been a very reserved country with a class society where good manners are considered the norm. For a non-native, acquiring English as a second language comes with more challenges and frustrations than we realise. This challenge is not only to understand the words, but also the cultural contexts within. In the case of the experiences of our Hispanic migrants in the UK, they identified a cultural barrier caused by the contrast in the Spanish way of being very direct and the indirectness of the British people.
Yo, como soy española, soy muy directa. Entonces, a veces,
I am Spanish.
No quiero ofender,
I am very direct.
Sin querer, es como
sometimes que, I don't want to offend anyone, so I say, I don't know if I'm being offensive or not. So, I can't be natural, natural. I don't know if I'm offending.
Pragmatic failures, otherwise known as miscommunication, are extremely common in native and non-native interactions. Many of our Spanish-speaking migrants, like Gisela, have been a victim of this miscommunication. The difficulties that occur within intercultural communication are caused by several factors. In this case, the ambiguity of the English language can be determined by a specific communication style. This could be either high or low context culture. These concepts define how two conflicting cultures may perceive a similar message in a different way. This happens because of the different communication strategies and specific rules of social interaction within cultures. Being aware of these rules leads to better comprehension and fewer misunderstandings. However, this usually takes time and can be very difficult for a newcomer. Some aspects of British culture are considered high context because there are explicit rules with regards to politeness. This makes it difficult for Spanish speakers to navigate because it is not applicable in their language. Whilst British speakers often rely on facial expressions and tone of voice to convey a message, Spanish cultures are more direct. This Spanish directness is an example of why it is considered a lower context culture, as this is a principal factor of this concept. In other words, the Spanish are more likely to express their intentions in a direct and honest fashion, whilst the English are more reserved, and they may not say it how it is. English is therefore more ambiguous, and often foreigners aren't sure what is appropriate or what could be considered offensive. As mentioned by Gisela, there are different expectations with regards to the appropriateness of the English language. Therefore, English methods of communicating may not necessarily coincide with Spanish speakers, which can lead to some conversational issues.
Yo no sé inglés. Yo les digo que no sé hablar inglés.
I don't know how to speak
porque
English.
Vienes con un nivel de...
Because you arrive with a school level. And of course, you go into a cafe and say, I want a coffee.
Claro, yo quiero un café, lo transcribes a tu...
But translated to your language, it can be a little rude. I want a coffee. I would like a coffee.
Like a coffee.
There are contexts of language that you cannot grasp because you haven't practiced them.
Lenguas que tú no dominas porque...
And I have not spoken English before.
Alba is confident in her knowledge of English, but she thinks that to be able to assimilate successfully, it isn't just a case of learning the language, but also adopting certain cultural mannerisms. It is a huge challenge to be able to use the words in the correct form and context so that it sounds natural and isn't perceived in the wrong way. There is bound to be a lack of cultural awareness for newcomers when they first arrive in their host country. Certain mannerisms that may come natural to us are completely foreign to newcomers. Understandably, this can lead to confusion and frustration, which in turn limits communication and causes a social and a cultural barrier. Of course, nobody wants to come across as rude or insensitive, but unfortunately, this barrier may cause such problems. As Alba mentioned, literal translations don't always work. In Spanish, the use of the imperative is used in normal context as a way of expressing a request or command. Sometimes the use of por favor, please, isn't even necessary. On the other hand, in English, we tend to use the conditional I would like instead of the imperative, which would translate better to give me that. In the UK, our communication style is based around our specific understanding of etiquette that ensures our requests and commands are polite and we always say our pleases and thank yous. This does not necessarily mean that the British are more polite, but that is the way our language has evolved and been influenced by culture. For Spanish speakers, the idea of apologising for everything and saying please and thank you at the stage of every meal in a restaurant may seem strange.
Well, I think that, first of all, more than, well, the language is always something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think that more than the language is the communication code behind. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think that is related to a culture more than anything. Mm-hmm. I understand that obviously I'm in a country, I need to do things,
mm-hmm.
and I need to follow the rules in that country.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's difficult to understand that.
In Spain, we make an effort to see each other. Okay, let's see each other again. Let's go for a beer or something. We can carry on. It doesn't need to be an intimate relationship. But okay, just do something from time to time. I see a little bit of difference here. I think the English are... I think you are a bit more independent.
Yeah, because they are Latin people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are open to invite you at home, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the kind of thing you... It's difficult to... do you obtain from an English person? Mm-hmm. They are more reluctant to open their private life. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is okay, it's a different culture.
It is impossible to name the many cultural differences that exist between Spain, Latin America and the UK. Different attitudes and character traits are influenced by culture instilled from a young age. In comparison to the social norms that Javier and Mario used to in their countries, they perceive the British people to be more superficial and less accessible to communicate with. In order to achieve successful integration, there has to be a mutual understanding and appreciation of each other's cultures. However, it is hard if one culture is more open than the other. The best way to consolidate these issues is by looking at the two different forms of greetings in Latin and English cultures. In Spain, for example, it is typical for acquaintances of both genders to embrace, and often two females or a male and female will kiss each other on each cheek. In Britain, however, handshakes are the norm, whereas kisses and hugs are usually reserved between very good friends. This is just one example that emphasises the cultural difference with regards to the direct and openness of Spanish speakers and the indirectness of the British. In addition to this, there may be more aspects of a migrant's cultural identity that they feel is lacking in their new society.
For me, in Barcelona, my group of friends are musicians and they play the rumba, catalana, flamenco and so on.
Oh, flamenco,
I don't have that here.
Certain elements of Hispanic culture, such as music or dance, play a huge part in creating a social life and maintaining a cultural identity. It is important that migrants remember their backgrounds and heritage when immersing themselves into UK culture. Likewise, nationals also must be open to these elements of cultural diversity and respect the differences. This is essential for successful integration amongst the two parties to be achieved. We live in a multicultural world, and the United Kingdom is no exception amongst the countries enriched with the many different ethnic groups and nationalities. Our documentary has touched on the specific group of Spanish and Latin American migrants living, working and studying here. We have had first-hand accounts of their experiences, varying from the positives to the challenges. Although we expressed earlier that there is no exact definition of integration, our participants have given mixed reviews on how they perceive aspects of their integration in their new host country. They confirm language learning was the most difficult challenge to overcome when settling into their new lives. Their accounts illustrate the fact that there is much more to learning English than may appear to a native speaker. We have also seen that cultural awareness is extremely important when trying to integrate, because there are many elements to our culture that conflict with the views of others. It appeared that university life seems to be a better environment to meet and interact with natives, which in turn enables the integration process. Our student participants stated that it was easy to get involved with certain cultural activities at the university, which then help friendships to form. In smaller enclosed communities outside the academic sphere, it was a much harder task because these resources are not so widely and openly available. I hope our documentary has delivered some interesting and thought-provoking insight into the experiences of foreign nationals living in the UK today. Thank you very much for listening to this documentary as part of the Open Lives project at the University of Leeds.